What is going on, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of the Backyard Bullpen. And of course, this is our Monday episode, so it will be the Backyard SEC episode number two. And in this episode, what we're going to do is we're going to go through every team in the SEC, how they did this weekend, and then kind of look into five series that particularly caught my attention this weekend, because let's be honest, I have a lot of ADD. It's hard for me to stay focused. So I want to just narrow it down to five that really stood out to me that I feel like were the most important, not necessarily the most important, but the ones that stood out the most. But before we can get all that, we got a thank you to give to our sponsors. So thank you to the Big Donkey Brand for sponsoring the Backyard Bullpen Podcast. It's the premier place to get all of your college baseball is rad apparel, whether it be hats, shirts, sweatshirts. We got a little bit of everything. So you can be representing the best game on the planet, in my opinion. But now that we've gotten through our ad break, let's get right into it. So this weekend, Tennessee swept Samford. Five of their seven wins this season have been run rules. They've only played two full nine-inning games, and two of them came this weekend, which was really cool. Oklahoma went 3-0 on the weekend, winning the Round Rock Classic. They beat Minnesota, Oregon State, and they had a walk-off win against Virginia, which, you know, hurt. But it was cool to see that energy, cool to see that tight of a ball game played this early in the year. Moving along, South Carolina swept Milwaukee. Kentucky swept Belmont. Florida swept Dayton. Vanderbilt swept St. Mary's of California. Georgia swept Incarnate Word. There were a lot of sweeps this week. You know, early in the season, a lot of the times teams will schedule, you know, not the toughest opponents. That way they can have their younger guys get experience, build the team's confidence up. And of course, this is the SEC. So naturally, a lot of teams are going to want to come down and play against these schools, you know, test themselves and try to prove themselves. But also, it's just way better baseball weather. Let's be honest. It's way warmer here. It was snowed out across the nation and plenty of games got canceled. So many teams wanted to come down south, and unfortunately it did not go great for them. Auburn swept Wright State. Alabama won the Jacksonville College Baseball Classic, beating Coastal Carolina, NC State, and Ohio State. And their game against Ohio State was an incredible one. We'll get into it later. Mississippi State swept Missouri State in a series that was very confusing for me as someone who associates teams and colors and team names. These team names and these colors, way too similar for me. I got way too confused. Ole Miss swept Eastern Kentucky, and then Texas swept Dartmouth to start Dartmouth's Ivy League season. And welcome to 2025. You get Texas. Definitely a challenge. Nothing too easy for you. Now, Arkansas went 2-1 in the college baseball series down in Arlington. They lost to K-State, but they beat TCU and Michigan, which are two very tough opponents. Then moving along, Texas A&M took 2-3 against Cal Poly. LSU took 2-3 against Omaha. Missouri went 2-1 at the Andre Dawson Classic, beating FAMU. Florida A&M University, the Rattlers, and beating Southern, but they lost to Alabama State. And, you know, just another dominant weekend for the SEC. This is one of the best baseball conferences out there. Many argue it is the best. And if I didn't go to a school in the ACC, I would probably be saying that too. But, you know, I'm a homer. I'm a homer through and through. I do still think the SEC is dominant. But getting into it, looking at some of the series that really caught my attention, first of all, was Tennessee. They played their first two nine-inning games of the season, which is very exciting because, personally, as a baseball player, I don't love the run rule. I feel like games that get lopsided are a great way to pad your stats, and I want to see more home runs. I want to see, you know, just a lot more chaos in college baseball, and the run rule inhibits upon that chaos. But looking at this series, some guys who did really well and kind of how they're at this season, first of all, need to mention Liam Doyle. He's at 10.1 innings pitched on the year, so he's collected a total of 31 outs. He's only given up three hits, one walk, one earned run, But of those 31 outs he's collected, 25 of them have come via the punch out, which is just absolutely insane. I mean, I've seen dominant pitchers before. I've seen dominant stuff before. But this guy's getting like so many swings and misses on his fastball. It's kind of unheard of. Just because, you know, when you think of swings and misses, you think of breaking stuff, you think of pitches that hitters probably weren't expecting. And this dude could literally glove sign a fastball, just say, hey, look, here it comes, try to hit it, and blow it right by guys. Another pitcher I was particularly impressed with has been Marcus Phillips. He's gone 8 2/3 innings pitched, only surrendering 2 hits, 5 walks, and 12 strikeouts. The 5 walks is very interesting to me because that does show some command problems, but also at the same time, I watch this kid at every 0-2 count dot up a pitch and just punch guys' tickets. So I feel like his command will come through. It could be one of those things where it's just, you know, colder weather, harder to control the baseball. That's a simple way of life. You know, when it's warmer out, it's more humid, you got a better grip on the ball. But not necessarily making excuses here, but I feel like those walk numbers will be down as the season progresses. Now at the plate, one kid who I think has earned himself more at-bats has to be freshman Levi Clark. He's currently hitting .538 on the season with 13 RBIs and 3 home runs, and he's doing this in just 13 at-bats, which is absolutely insane. He's averaging 1 RBI per at-bat. His home runs have all been massive. He had a pinch-hit grand slam, a regular pinch-hit, just regular home run, which was cool. Another guy who's really impressed me has been Dean Curley. Having this guy in the leadoff spot kind of feels unfair. It's like Tennessee's starting every game 1-0 just because this kid mashes. He's 9 for 22 on the season with 3 home runs. And he's been really impressive to watch, just kind of continuing the flow, being a typical Tennessee volunteer, mashing home runs and getting a ton of base hits. Another guy who's really impressed me and really stood out this series is Gavin Killen, the Louisville transfer. He's currently 7 for 19 on the season with 1 double, 2 triples, and 2 home runs. He's a guy who just absolutely flies on the base path. He's got a very unique combination of speed and power that I think is going to really be big for the Vols this season. Now, in the midweek, they will be playing North Alabama, and personally, I think if Tennessee just plays their brand of baseball, it could be a very long midweek for North Alabama. It could be a long bus ride home. Now, moving along, Alabama won the Jacksonville College Baseball Classic. They handled Coastal and NC State pretty easily. And then against Ohio State, they were down 10-0 at one point. I think it was in the third, and then they scored 3 runs, so they were down 10-3. And then innings 7, 8, and 9, in those innings, Alabama scored 9 runs, and they ended up having a walk-off home run by Will Hodo. That was absolutely electric. They're actually going to be playing Jacksonville State this week, and after just coming to their town, showing that dominance, if I'm Jacksonville State, I'm not super excited about this. So like I said, Will Hodo had that walk-off 3-run bomb. He's currently 10 for 19 on the season. He's got 2 doubles and 2 home runs to his name. But he's just been an offensive force for the Tide. Another guy who's really been going off for Alabama has been shortstop Justin LeBron. He's currently 11 for 29 on the season with 4 doubles and 4 home runs. He had 2 home runs against Ohio State, and that come from behind win that were absolutely massive for the Tide. Then another guy who I've been impressed with was Brennan Norton. This weekend, he went 4 for 12 with a double, a home run, and 3 RBIs, but all of those RBIs ended up being pretty big difference makers. He's a Jacksonville State transfer, so I'm really interested to see how he does in the midweek against his former team. You know, I'm always excited looking forward to those games where it's guys playing against the school they originally started at, or the school they transferred from, just because as a guy who transferred from a school, I wouldn't have minded playing my old school and just kind of taking it to him. If I'm being honest, just being like, hey, remember when I could do this for you? Maybe I'm a bad person for that. Maybe not. But either way, I'm excited to see what he can do in this game against Jacksonville State. Looking on the mound, I've been impressed with a number of guys for Alabama, starting off with Riley Quick. He's 2-0 on the season. He's got seven innings pitched, only giving up three hits and one walk while punching out eight guys. So he's been really dominant on the mound, really controlling things. One thing about this pitching staff is they've had a ton of guys contribute. They are not like some other teams we see where it's okay, this is our starting pitcher. He's going to go six innings and then we're going to give it to our bridge guy and then the closer's coming in. Alabama gives the love to just about everyone. And I really like that for this team. One guy that I would give the ball to very often is Aiden Moza. In 3.1 innings pitched, he's struck out nine batters. He has surrendered three walks, so that is a little bit on the higher end, about a walk per an inning. But at the same time, with those nine strikeouts, it's kind of like an effectively wild sort of situation. Just a really fun guy to watch pitch. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Arkansas went 2-1 in the college baseball series, losing to K-State. But that game against K-State, it was a 3-2 loss. It was a really tight ball game. Nothing I would really be too concerned with if I'm an Arkansas fan where I'm like hitting the panic button. I know college baseball is the way it is. It's a short season. It's a lot of games, but it feels a lot shorter. And as a fan, it's easy to go, oh God, this is going to be bad. But K-State's a very gritty ball club, and there were a lot of high points throughout the weekend. First of all, 18,000 people were at the game versus TCU where Arkansas won, and a lot of them were wearing Razorback red. So this was really cool to see, just seeing the sport grow at the rate it's been growing and seeing how much Arkansas has contributed to that and how important their brand of baseball is to college baseball has been really cool. They're going to play Grambling State this week. Two guys, or well, starting off with two guys, I'm going to talk about more than two guys for sure, but two guys who have been particularly impressive have been the Loy brothers. Now, when you have brothers on a team, you expect some things to be similar. You expect them to kind of be on the same wavelength. Well, currently on the season, they're both hitting 417, which if I'm getting brothers, I want them to be good like that. And I want them to be on that same wavelength. They both have three home runs. Looking at it, Vahiva Loy is 10 for 24 with a double, three home runs. He has that 417 average, like I said. And then Cahillo Loy currently is 5 for 12 with two doubles, three home runs. So, first of all, anytime all your hits are extra base hits, that's insane. But the way he does it, I think his home runs, there are only three of them right now. They might total like 1,500 feet. This dude absolutely melts baseballs. In the game against K-State in the sixth inning is when Arkansas did all their scoring of their two runs. And they both came via solo home runs from the Aloy brothers, which was really cool to see. We had Vahiva hit his. He went Oppo Taco for the first home run of the inning. And then Cahillo, someone threw him a high fastball, which I don't think anyone will do the rest of the season. He obliterated a baseball to the upper decks at Globe Life. Just insane pop in his bat. Moving along, Brett Iredale is currently 9 for 24 on the season. He has two doubles and two home runs. All things considered, I think offensively, it's early in the season. Arkansas has been playing tough opponents. We aren't going to see super crooked numbers when you're playing pitching staffs like TCU and Michigan. And to be where they're at, I think as long as a few more guys emerge in the lineup, as long as some more run producers come along, they're going to be really fine because on the mound, they're very impressive. Landon Beitelschies has been exactly as advertised. He's currently thrown 7.2 innings, only giving up five hits and two walks and striking out seven guys. But as time goes on, as he kind of settles into himself this season, I expect to see those strikeout numbers go up a lot. Another guy who I've been really impressed with on the mound for them has been Zach Root. He's gone 10 innings pitched on the season, only surrendering four hits, two runs, and three walks. But he's also punched out 18 guys, which is kind of like, it's not in that same Liam Doyle range, but that's still an insane amount of strikeouts. Nearly half, more than half of the outs he's collected have been via the punch out, which that's really impressive. I think as long as he can limit the walks. He's going to be able to go longer into games come middle of May and June, which that's the time you want starting pitchers to be really going longer. And of course, he could be going longer way before that. It's just a matter of getting that arm ready for the season. And especially this early in the season, I like seeing guys ramp up. I like seeing guys who don't have the highest amount of workload. Just shows that, hey, pitching coach knows what he's doing. He's taking care of these guys. Of course, winning is important, but winning later in the season is also important. Now, along that same vein, Gage Wood has been really good for Arkansas. He's currently gone 7 innings, striking out 13 guys. He did leave the game. I don't want to speculate on any injuries. That's not what I'm here to do. And I'm not here to really shine a light on injuries. But what I am here to do is say, I hope Gage Wood is healthy. I hope for him, for Arkansas, that, he can bounce back. It's just a minor thing because he's a super talented pitcher and a good dude. So we always want to see those dudes succeed. Moving along, LSU, of course, they had a game against Omaha where everyone else in the SEC wants to make fun of them for it and say, oh, you guys lost 5-4 to the Omaha Mavericks. Who are they? Well, they're the Omaha Mavericks, and they're a very talented ball club. They no-hit LSU for 7 2/3 innings before LSU got their first hit. And then in the ninth, LSU ended up putting up 4 runs, making it a tight ball game, just falling a little bit short. So if I'm an LSU fan, I'm not necessarily that concerned. They're going to play Nichols and DBU this week before going to a pretty tough weekend. But at the same time, I want my team to be tested before SEC play starts if I'm going to be on an SEC team, because it's easy. There are a lot of easy wins. Of course, in baseball, nothing's guaranteed. If you're on the mound, you're competing against yourself in the glove. It's really hard to throw strikes. It's not necessarily something you can wake up and just do. But as long as the bats come around for the Tigers, I think that's the biggest question mark, because pitching's been good. And I think bats will come around. Their pitching staff currently has a 1.33 ERA with 88 strikeouts and 61 innings pitched. So, any game you're expecting to give up 1 to 2 runs, that's typically a winnable ball game for your offense. It's just a matter of the offense getting clicking on all cylinders. It seemed like they had a ton of opportunities to score in this weekend or in the one loss against Omaha, and it just hits didn't fall. And that's all right. That's baseball. That's the way the game works. There will be guys who will have a 0 for 20 streak where they hit 20 line drives just right at people. The game is weird like that. You just got to let it be weird, because that's what's beautiful about baseball. Now, some guys offensively who have impressed me: Daniel Dickinson, the Utah Valley transfer. He's currently 7 for 21 with 2 doubles and 1 home run. Derek Curiel is currently 11 for 25 with 1 double, 1 home run. It's just one thing that's kind of concerning me about this offense is typically when you think of the LSU Tigers, you think about, they bang. They hit baseballs over the fence at an alarming rate. And that hasn't quite happened yet. But again, LSU is one of those teams where they're kind of the pinnacle of college baseball from time to time. When you ask someone in the South, what do you think of college baseball? Typically, they're going to say LSU is gross. So they're playing with this target on their back where these other schools come to the box and it's like, hey, look, we're here not just to prove that we can play baseball well, but we're here to beat you. So playing with that target on your back, playing where everyone knows who every one of your players is, there's a lot of asymmetric information that can help teams beat LSU. And I think that's what's really going to stand out for me, is the fact that while you're playing at a sick school and everyone really wants to be there, other schools really want to try to pull your pants down and embarrass you. And I don't think the LSU Tigers are going to let that happen too often this season. Now, Luis Hernandez has been really impressive to me. He's currently 4 for 12, but of his 4 hits, 3 of them have been doubles. So I think as he gets more playing time, as he gets more opportunities this season, he's going to really be a run producer for the Tigers. Jared Jones is currently kind of He's starting his season, but not starting his season as hot as I'm sure he would like. He's 8 for 23 with two doubles and a home run. This is a guy who, this whole lineup, the power potential is absolutely there. They have so many guys who can launch home runs. The box, I feel like, is a pretty hitters-friendly ballpark. So I think, you know, as these hitters fall out, of course, you know, pitchers can get a lot of work in throughout the season. That's just the, or throughout the off season. It's pretty simple to find an area where you can find 60 feet, 6 inches of space, and you can throw baseballs. Hitting wise, it's a lot different. There aren't many areas where you can go out, you can face a college level pitcher or college level pitching machine. I'm sure LSU has some bright and shiny machines that can do some crazy stuff, but nothing is ever going to compare to the real thing. And that's why a lot of the times, once the season rolls around, you'll see fan bases just, oh, this offense, they're so bad right now. And that's just the way baseball works. It's nearly impossible to get game-like experience in the offseason as a hitter. So as long as you're defending well and pitching well, that's really what's important in these early games and important to see. And the pitching has absolutely been there. Chase Shores has been really impressive. He's gone 10 innings pitched, only giving up 6 hits, 2 walks, 1 run, while punching out 13 guys. So I think he's really emerging as the starting pitcher that a lot of people expected him to be. And then Anthony Ianson is a guy who I didn't have my eye on, to be honest with you, beginning the season, but I certainly have my eyes on him now. In 11 innings pitched, he's only given up 7 hits and 2 walks while punching out 13 guys and only surrendering 1 run. So again, this is a pitching staff that can do it. They've proven they can do it time and time again. It's just a matter of letting these bats thaw out, staying calm, don't hit the panic button yet, because there's still a lot of time left in the season and there's still a lot of time for these hitters to come around. And I think, honestly, I think this weekend is going to be a really good test for them, but also it's going to be when we see what this LSU lineup's really made of. And if I'm playing LSU, I'm not super stoked to hear that. But I feel like a weekend going 2-1 against Omaha has probably ruffled some feathers within the clubhouse. They're going to play a little bit upset this next game. And it could get ugly. Could get ugly this weekend for opposing pitchers. Now, another team that really caught my attention was Vanderbilt. They swept St. Mary's of California, and many people on the East Coast are like, hey, who are they? They're a team that's produced a ton of big leaguers. They're a very talented ball club, and I don't think many people realize that. They've had guys like Ken Waldichuk, who is currently, I believe, on the Athletics. Yeah, he's on the Athletics. He was on the Yankees last season in their minor league system, made his debut. But they've had guys like him go through, and guys like Drew Strotman, who's a big-time pitcher in the Rays organization. He's going to be really good in this little thing called the MLB, in my opinion. And St. Mary's, they're a good ball club. Vanderbilt's going to be playing Tennessee Tech this week, a little in-state rivalry matchup, which we love to see. Tennessee Tech's a team that historically has banked. They've hit a lot of home runs. So I'm really interested to see how the pitching staff kind of competes against them, because in all honesty, Vanderbilt's pitching has been not the most dominant. I believe they currently have like a 4.14 ERA with 90 strikeouts in about 64 innings pitched, but they have been playing tougher opponents than most teams in the SEC have been playing. You know, of course, they had that loss against Nebraska where the Swanson kid just absolutely went off. But I think Vanderbilt is going to be performing a lot better than they have in years past. And I think they're kind of getting back to their standard of baseball. One guy who has really, really stood out in making that standard a priority this season has been RJ Austin. He's 14 for 30 right now with 2 doubles, 3 triples, and a home run. Anytime a guy's got more triples than home runs, that's a dangerous kid to have at the plate, because what's he going to do? Is he going to be on third base, or is he just going to go back to the dugout because he hit a home run? I'm not entirely sure, but RJ Austin has absolutely been a spark plug for this Vanderbilt lineup. Another guy who's really impressed me has been Jacob Humphrey. He's currently 9 for 19 on the season with 1 double and 1 triple. Again, Vanderbilt in the past has not been one of those offenses where they're putting the ball out of the yard at an alarming rate like many of their cohorts in the SEC have been doing. But I feel like this is really the season where they have a ton of power potential in their lineup. And that's not saying they haven't in the past. They have. But I feel like their program's kind of been built around guys like, you know, Enrique Bradfield Jr., where sure, he can hit home runs, but he's really known for that speed. And so I feel like as they've been shifting kind of to more of a power lineup, we're going to see a lot more of those power numbers going up. A guy I expect who can bring a lot of those power numbers is going to be Riley Nelson. He's currently 10 for 29. He's got the bat to ball skills to do it. He's got one double and one home run on the season. And then Rustin Rigdon is another guy who's really been interesting to me to watch. He's currently 8 for 21 on the season with two doubles. Again, if these guys can, if the power numbers go up even just a little bit for Vanderbilt, I think it's going to be a really, really good season for them. Now, on the mound, some guys who have really impressed me, Sawyer Hawks has been excellent for him. He's gone six innings pitched, only surrendering two hits, one walk, no runs, while punching out 10 guys. And then another guy who has really stood out on the mound is J.D. Thompson. He's currently gone 8.2 innings pitched for the Doors while surrendering 10 hits, three walks, and three runs, which, you know, those numbers, the three runs and the three walks are what really concerns me. If you give up hits, that's just kind of baseball. You're at least in the zone. But giving up those three walks, that's kind of a question mark for me. It's okay, how's his command? And then you look at his hits. This is kind of just an inside look of how I analyze baseball. So if there's a pitcher who has a lot of walks, but he's given up hits, that means he's in the zone. That might mean, okay, he's in the zone a lot. These walks are coming from guys fouling off pitches, putting together good at-bats. But he's only surrendered three runs while giving up those 13 base runners. That's impressive to me because he's working around damage. He's got 11 strikeouts on the season. But again, having that mature mentality of knowing when you got to punch guys out, when you got to look for ground balls, that's something you don't see too often in college baseball. And I feel like J.D. Thompson does a great job of that, which I think will help him really, really break through this year. And then, of course, there won't be a single time this season where I talk about the Vanderbilt Commodores. And I don't mention the absolute force on the mound in Luke Guff. Now, he's currently only gone 2.2 innings pitch, giving up three hits, no walks, no runs, while punching out three batters. But this dude, he's someone who I think we could see him break into the starting rotation, if not this year, next year. He's definitely got the talent for it. I think what's really interesting about him, he's kind of a power fastball guy. It'll be in the mid-90s. But his slider is one of the best in college baseball, and I don't think many people realize that. He's got one of the highest, out of high school, he had the highest spin rate on his slider of anyone going to like perfect game events or PBR events, depending on which one you subscribe to. Either way, this kid spins it better than most. And I think, you know, looking at the zero walks and 2.2 innings pitch, it's really hard not to walk guys early in the season because you're very excited to be back out there. You want to throw as fast as you can, especially as a reliever, because it's like, look, I don't have to worry about going long in this ball game. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. I'm going to try to let it hang a little bit and see how fast I can throw, to be honest with you. And so a lot of the times you'll see guys going out there, puffing out their chest, trying to throw as hard as they can. Not Luke Guth. Luke Guth knows what he can do. It's in the mid-90s. He knows he's going to throw it fast. But he's also throwing it under control, which we really love to see. So I think once the Vanderbilt bats come around a little bit more, pitching will kind of settle down. And, you know, as they play different opponents and kind of move towards SEC play, I'm really interested to see kind of how they can handle their schedule. I personally think that this Vanderbilt team is going to be one of the teams where it's like looking back on it after the season, wow, they got back on track this year. And, you know, if off track is making it to regionals or super regionals, that's not too bad a track either. But I, you know, the standard with Vanderbilt baseball has always kind of felt like Omaha or nothing. You know, if we don't get to Omaha, it's a failure. And I love that about the Doors. I think that's really cool. All things considered, this weekend in SEC baseball, they dominated. They really did. Only three total losses That's insane. That's insane for a conference. So again, many people might ask, why does everyone talk about the SEC? Why is everyone so on top of the SEC? It's because they are so good at baseball. And they really proved that this week. I think there's a lot of exciting matchups looking forward to next weekend and a lot of midweeks where there's a lot of win opportunities. The game I'm really excited for is LSU versus Dallas Baptist. I feel like Dallas Baptist has been a team where they're always knocking on the door of Omaha. They're always doing something. And I'm not just saying that because when we at Virginia went to Omaha, we had to beat Dallas Baptist in a super regional to do it. And they took us to three games and almost beat us, quite honestly. But this Dallas Baptist team, they're a tough ball club. They always put together a tough team. So I think that'll be a really interesting one to watch. Also, just to see how LSU responds to what happened to them this weekend. Texas A&M is another one where I'm kind of really looking out for it. Oh, I did math wrong. I'm sorry. There were four total losses in the SEC, not three. But either way, only four losses in the whole conference. That's insane. Either way, back to LSU. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they respond just midweek-wise. And this weekend, of course, anytime Liam Doyle's starting, I'm going to be tuning in just because I want to see how many guys he punches out. I want to watch his fastball blow past guys. But it's been a great week, been a great start to the season for the SEC. Couldn't be more stoked for him and more excited for him. The state of college baseball has been very awesome. Seeing 18,000 fans at Globe Life is really cool. That is the second largest attendance for a game at Globe Life Field. Of course, the first largest attendance was set in a game between TCU and Arkansas back in 2023, which this fan base travels. We love to see it. We love seeing the fans getting out there, getting the baseball action that they deserve, getting some high-packed, action-packed games. Either way, thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, this was brought to you by the Big Donkey brand. So if you're at any point like, hey, I want to support the show, I've already rated the show, because if you did, you're awesome. But I want to do a little bit more. Consider getting a College Baseball's Rat hat. Consider getting a College Baseball's Rat sweatshirt. I know it's cold throughout much of the nation right now. So there's no better way to stay warm while looking hot than a College Baseball's Rat sweatshirt. But either way, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. And of course, we'll be back next Thursday, or this Thursday, with a more overarching episode covering all of college baseball. But until then, have a great week. I appreciate you.